The scripture this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 18 in the Common English Bible. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said that to you. You must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel and don't know these things. I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except for the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son."
I've got a little story here to share with you this morning. There was a certain professor of religion named Dr. Christen, a studious man who taught a small college in the western United States. Dr. Christen taught the required survey course in Christianity at this particular institution. Every student was required to take this course his freshman year, regardless of his major. Although Dr. Christen tried hard to communicate the essence of the gospel in his class, he found that most of his students looked upon the course as nothing but a required waste of time. Despite his best efforts, most students refused to take Christianity seriously. This year, Dr. Christen had a special student named Steve. Steve was only a freshman, but was studying with the intent of going on to seminary for his ministry. Steve was popular, he was well-liked, and he was an imposing physical specimen. He was now starting the center on the school's football team and was the best student in the professor's class. One day, Dr. Christen asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. "How many push-ups can you do, Steve?" he asked. "I do about 200 every night." "200? That's pretty good, Steve," Dr. Christen said. "Do you think you'd be able to do 300? Steve replied, "I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time." "Do you think you could?" again asked Dr. Christen. "Well, I can try," said Steve. "Can you do 300 in sets of 10? I have a class project in mind, and I need you to do about 300 push-ups in sets of 10 for this to work. Can you do it?" "I need you to tell you that you can do it," said the professor. Steve said, "Well, I think I can. I can do it." Dr. Christen said, "Good. I need you to do this on Friday. Let me explain what I have in mind." Friday came. Steve got to class early and sat in the front of the room. When class started, the professor pulled out a big box of donuts. No, these weren't any normal, everyday glazed donuts. These were the big, extra fancy kind with the cream centers and the frosting swirls. Everyone was pretty excited. It was Friday, the last class of the year, and they were going to get an early start on the weekend with a party in Dr. Christen's class. Dr. Christen went to the first girl in the first row and he asked, "Cynthia, do you want to have one of these donuts?" Cynthia said, "Why, yes." Dr. Kristen then turned to Steve and he asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Cynthia can have a donut?" "Sure." Steve jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve sat in his desk. Dr. Kristen put a donut on Cynthia's desk. Dr. Kristen then went to Joe, the next person. He asked, "Do you want a donut?" Joe said, yes. Dr. Kristen asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Joe can have a donut?" Steve then did 10 push-ups. Joe got a donut. And so it went down the first aisle. Steve did 10 push-ups for every person before they got their donut. Walking down the second aisle, Dr. Kristen came to Scott. Scott was on the basketball team and was in good condition as Steve, and he was popular, and he was never lacking a female companionship. When the professor asked, "Scott, do you want a donut?" Scott's reply was, "Well, I can do my own push-ups." Dr. Kristen said, "No, Steve has to do them." Then Scott said, "Well, I don't want them." Dr. Kristen then shrugged, and he turned to Steve, and he asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want?" With perfect obedience, Steve started to do 10 push-ups. Scott said, "Hey, I said I don't want one." Dr. Kristen said, "Look, this is my classroom, my class, my desk. These are my donuts. Just leave it on the desk if you don't want one." And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it was too much effort to be getting up and down. You could start to see a little perspiration coming out around his brow. Dr. Kristen started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. Dr. Kristen asked Jenny, "Jenny, do you want a donut?" Sternly, Jenny said, "No." Then Dr. Kristen asked Steve, "Steve, would you do 10 more push-ups so Jenny can have a donut she doesn't want?" Steve then did 10. Jenny got a donut. By now, a growing sense of uneasiness filled the room. The students were beginning to say no, and there were all these uneaten donuts on the desk. Steve also had to really put forth a lot of extra effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. They began to be a small pool of sweat on the floor beneath his face. His arms and his brow were beginning to get red because of the physical effort involved. Dr. Kristen asked Robert. Robert, who was the most vocal unbeliever in the class, to watch Steve do each push-up to make sure he did the full 10 push-ups in a set because he didn't want to bear to watch Steve work for all those uneaten donuts. He sent Robert over to Steve, and Steve would do the push-ups, and Robert would count aloud. The set was closely watched. Dr. Kristen then started down the fourth row. During his class, however, some students from other classes just wandered in and sat down on the steps and on the radiators that ran down the sides of the room. When the professor realized this, he did a quick count and saw that now there were 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. Dr. Kristen went on to the next person and to the next. Near the end of the row, Steve was really having a tough time. He was taking a lot more time to complete each set. Steve asked Dr. Kristen, "Do I have to make my nose touch on each one?" Dr. Kristen thought for a minute. "Well, they're your push-ups. You're in charge now. You can do them any way you want." And Dr. Kristen went on. A few moments later, Jason, a recent transfer student, came to the room and was about to come in, and all the students shouted, "No! Don't come in, stay out." Jason didn't know what was going on. Steve picked up his head and he said, "No, let him come in." Professor Kristen said, "You realize that if Jason comes in, you will have to do 10 push-ups for him." Steve said, "Yes, let him come in and give him a donut." Dr. Kristen said, "Okay, Steve, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way. Right now, Jason, do you want a donut?" Jason, new to the room, hardly knew what was going on. He said, "Yes." He said, "Give me a donut." "Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so that Jason can have a donut?" Steve then did 10 push-ups very slowly. With great effort, Jason, bewildered, was handed with a donut and he sat down. Dr. Kristen finished the fourth row, and then he started on those visitors seated on the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up in a struggle to lift himself before the force of gravity. By this time, sweat was profusely dripping off his face. There was no sound except a heavy breathing. There was not a dry eye in the room. The very last two students in the room were two young women, both cheerleaders, and very popular. Dr. Kristen went to Linda, the second to the last. He asked, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." Professor Christian quietly asked, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut she doesn't want?" Grunting from the effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then Dr. Kristen turned to the last girl, Susan. "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, began to cry, "Dr. Kristen, why can't we help him?" Dr. Kristen, with tears in his own eyes, said, "No, Steve has to do it alone. I have given him the task, and he's in charge of seeing that everyone has an opportunity for a donut, whether they want it or not. When I decided to have a party this last day of school, I looked at my grade book. Steve here is the only student with a perfect grade. Everyone else has failed a test, skipped a class, or offered me inferior work. Steve told me that in football practice, when a player messes up, he must do push-ups. I told Steve that none of you could come to my party unless he paid the price by doing the push-ups. He and I made a deal for your sakes. Steve would do 10 push-ups so Susan could have a donut." As Steve very slowly finished his last push-up, and the understanding that he accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him and he fell to the floor. Dr. Kristen turned to the room and he said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, pled to the Father, 'Into thy hands I command my spirit,' with the understanding that he done everything that he was required of him. He yielded up his life, and like some of those in this room, many of us leave the gift on the desk, uneaten." Think about that. As we look at the donuts laying on the desk in front of you, they're there, right in front of you. Nicodemus, not many of us think about Nicodemus too much. How many of you realize that Nicodemus was the one that took Jesus' broken body down off the cross? Nicodemus helped lay him in the tomb. Nicodemus was the original Nick at Night. He went to Jesus at night, and we like to think he went there at night out of respect, because he knew that people would start to question why this teacher of the Jewish law was meeting with this man. I want you to really think about that. There was a face-to-face meeting, a heart-to-heart connection, a physical embrace, all happened. And we learn in the scriptures here about Moses when he raised up the serpent. And for those of you that would like to know, it's found in your Old Testament. And you find out when Moses is leading the children out of Egypt, he raises up this serpent on this shaft, and they follow and they lead and they know what's coming. The same thing happens when Jesus is led up on that cross right in front of you. And I ask you today, do you really want to watch Christ go through that all over again? Just like the people in the story, they started to say they didn't want the donut. They didn't need the donut. But he had to do it. He had to give it all back to you. He poured out everything he had, just like Steve poured out everything he had so all could come to the party. not just a select few. And the point in that story that really come completely around for me is when Jason, the young transfer student, comes to the door and everyone screams, "No, no, no, don't come in," because they want to stop the punishment on Steve. And Steve, in the push-up position, looks over at him and says, "No, let him come in." Jesus done the same thing for us. He said, "No, let them come in. Let them be part of this party. They might not want what we're having, but they can still come." This past couple of weeks, we've talked about several things. From the baptism to this moment here. The magical moment when Nicodemus meets with Jesus. And I have these questions to ask you. We do not cease to be sinners when we become Christians. Paul teaches us in Romans 7 that there will be eternal conflict between the old nature and the new nature. And that we must live in an attitude of change forever. Are you living in an attitude of change? There's a lot in this scripture today that talks about a new birth. We had a physical birth to get to this earth. But you've got to have a spiritual birth to be part of the family of God. We've all been through the physical, but have we really been through the spiritual birth? Paul also teaches us that we need to die to ourselves every day. We're all sinners. For those of you that are not a sinner, then you need to really look in the mirror a little bit harder. Because we all sin. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We all have the donut laid out before us. Some are real excited about taking it. Others say no. Others don't know what to do. Do we watch the Savior suffer? Or do we come to the party and celebrate? If you would, please join me in Holy Communion. Lord, I ask you to come upon us, to allow us to become an outward change, so that those around us would ask, "What happened at Nick at night?" Lord, I proclaim these things in your Son's holy and awesome name. Amen.